how are you? I haven't heard from you in a while.
All right. Oh, wait. Welcome to week 1001 of the Drinkcast.
Really?
Yeah. We've missed a couple of weeks.
Do you know... Hey, I've noticed this on, like, Instagram and Blue Sky. There are a lot of, like, working comic artists who have podcasts now.
Oh, are there?
Yeah.
That's an easy medium to get into, you know?
Yeah, but it's like we were, like, the first ones.
Close. I mean, there were a couple before us. I mean, we got inspired by one. Well, you did, anyway.
I mean, not comic podcasters. I mean, like, professional comic people that have podcasts now.
Right. I mean, there was that one, remember that, the one that actually prompted you to ask me about it was that one
from... Oh, Warren Ellis?
No, it was a group of guys in their studio. I can't remember who it was. Were they Canadian?
I don't remember that. Was it who?
Are they Canadian? Wasn't Kalman.
Oh, was it Carl Kershaw?
Maybe.
I feel like that was after us.
No, there was one in specific that was comic artist in a studio together, and they had a podcast, like, briefly. I don't think it lasted very long.
Mm.
And you heard it, and that finally inspired you. And John Suntress started up, like, a month or two before us, but he wasn't a working comic guy. And then, of course, there was Comic Geek Speak, I think.
No, that's different. There's a bunch of those, and those were definitely what made me want to do one. But now, like, there are a bunch of them that do basically what we do, except they're a little more entertaining.
It's not surprising, really, I suppose. I mean, shit, 2025, that's our 20th. So we need to make 2025 special.
Yeah, we need to look into doing this video version of it.
I've gone through that in my head, and I'm just not sure.
That's what everybody else is doing, dude.
I'm not sure what we would do for video. Like,
it doesn't matter.
From a technical standpoint, I mean, like,
nobody else knows either. It's just pictures of them talking. It's nothing.
Right, but
it's not. Where's the value? They're not dancing or singing or anything.
Where's the value added there? Is what I'm saying, as opposed to what we're just doing.
I don't know either. I'm just saying that's what the kids today are doing.
I thought maybe we could video record record like we do normally, and then still have our full audio podcast, and also do a shorter edited version. Because I don't think anybody wants 45 minutes of us on screen.
Now you've given yourself extra work to do.
Well, that's the only way I could see something like that working, though. I mean, the easiest way would be just
not for you to see.
Post it, but
it's not for you to understand.
Sure,
it's just for you to do.
Oh, by the way, I'm cranking.
Just do it.
I'm cranking. That's Mike. Hey, you think we could get Sean and Sam to do a thing this year, like the old days?
No.
No.
I'll just make a executive decision. No.
Oh.
Well, Sam is busy all the time, and Sean, no.
I mean, he's got a kid and stuff, you know.
Yes, that's true, but Sean's very difficult to get him to do stuff, even though he's 1,000% better than he used to be.
Well, maybe we could...
So it used to be impossible to get Sean to do stuff, and now it's just hard.
Maybe we could at least have them on or something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know Sean sometimes pipes in from the background, but I mean, actually properly have him on with, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of something for this year, you know? I mean, just to make this
year. I hear you. I do feel like something needs to happen. Something needs to shape up.
I mean, quality aside, 20 years of doing this is kind of impressive. I mean.
It is something.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, this, especially this past year, it's not been great, but, you know.
If you knew somebody that had been recording themselves talking to their cat consistently for 20 years, you'd probably recommend they seek therapy or something.
No, actually, that would be a news item. I mean, there's people that just take pictures of themselves every day for a year, and that gets on the news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been talking almost weekly nearly every week, except for, again...
Well, you know, we talked last week. Was it last week or the week before? And we didn't record it. And I kind of liked that.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know...
So you guys didn't get to hear it, all five of you.
Right. Oh, by the way, I think the... Well, I fear the end is nigh. Not for us specifically, but just in general.
But the world?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, I know. I feel that way, too.
There's a reason for that, though.
Okay. I've been feeling like that all year, but why?
I'm kind of ashamed to say this. I purchased my first Apple product.
Oh, you got the Mini?
I went ahead and got the base Mac Mini.
Yay!
Because here's why. This year, money-wise, has not been great for me. And because okay, so this is for people who don't work freelance. Anybody listening that doesn't work freelance, so you understand what I'm talking about here. When you don't have a regular paycheck that your taxes and stuff get taken out of, and of course I don't know how this works in other countries either, but in the U.S., when you don't have a regular paycheck from a business where your taxes and Social Security and all that get taken out of, you have to pay quarterlies, which is an estimate against next year's earnings. Or I guess it's actually an estimate against the year you're in's earnings. But you have to base it on your previous year's income. Because mm-hmm. that's when you file, that's all the information you have, right? So you have to base it on previous year's income. And I did okay last year, pretty well. This year, work was a little slow through a good chunk of the year. Yeah. And while it had picked up at the end of the year, I didn't have a lot of ready cash, but I still had to make my quarterly payments or I would have to suffer a penalty and other things that you don't want to happen to you from the IRS. So I was paying my quarterlies based on last year's income, which I was not nearly making. So I didn't have a lot of money mm-hmm. to spend on business things, mm-hmm. which are a thing that, because of the screwy way the tax system's set up, if I didn't spend enough on business this year, it might look like on paper that I made as much as I did last year. Yeah. If that makes any kind of sense, which it doesn't, but that's the way things are. So I had to think of some things now that I do have some, not extra cash, but I have some more liquid cash going on right now. I had to think of some business expenses. So one of them was this Mac Mini. And I was, last time we talked, off the record, I guess, off the recording, I had mentioned it as a thing, but then, and I was kind of on the fence about it, because I'm like, well, you know, it could be useful, but, you know, I couldn't decide, but anyway, right after that, then Black Friday was kicking in,
mm-hmm.
and not only did they drop the price on the Mac Minis to like $5.50 instead of $5.99, at one point they were also offering a coupon that dropped it down to $4.99.
Wow.
Which Costco was running a similar deal, but I don't have a Costco membership.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they dropped it down to $4.99. So by the time I got it with taxes, and then I paid like $4.35 for this Mac Mini.
That's cool.
Not $4.35.
Like I should get
$5.35. I'm sorry, $5.35 for the Mac Mini. But and I, you know, it's getting really good reviews. This M4 chip's supposed to be, you know, the shit right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got as far as getting it set up, and I just messed around doing basic stuff on it. I haven't given it any kind of a workout or anything yet, but I just the fact that I own a, you know, Mac computer is weird. it's kind of jarring to my identity, Mike.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll make music then.
That's what I was... Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I was looking into it.
Because, you keep saying that, but we won't.
Well, I mean, the people I work with on music tend to work on
you like,
Macs.
You like better.
No, I'm saying like...
You don't have to like teach them like you do me. You don't have... I suck. It's okay to say I suck.
Hush on now.
Hush on now?
Yeah. Now, what I'm trying to say is that people that I work with tend to work on Macs.
Mm-hmm.
Which, well, I mean,
as most... I'd be interested to know who doesn't use a Mac besides you when it comes to music.
Oh, well, lots of people, man. Mostly for affordability factors. A lot of, especially beginning musicians and stuff, I mean, they ain't got the kind of cash layout for Mac stuff.
No.
It's certainly a hell of a lot cheaper just to go out and buy, like, a Acer laptop or something, you know?
No.
Or even a Dell.
No.
But,
I refute you.
That's true. Anyway, especially because probably the most mainstream working software is Pro Tools, and that's cross-platform. So, you know, if you're going to be working in Pro Tools anyway, you might as well save some money on the hardware, you know. But Mac OS does have Logic, which a lot of people use, and that's not cross-platform. But most of the actual software that I see people talking about them using regularly is cross-platform, now that I think about it. Because, I mean, you can get Pro Tools, you can get Reaper on both platforms.
Pro Tools is the most popular DAW. You are correct.
Yeah, that's... They sort of have the... How do I want to say this? In studios and stuff, they kind of did what Apple did with their computers in art schools.
Yeah.
And so that people were trained on it in school or whatever, learned on it, and so when they got to the studios, of course, that's the software they used, you know?
Pro Tools is so ugly to me, though.
Yeah, the UI is not the nicest. I mean, it's really powerful.
Logic is so much nicer.
I like Ableton, too. You can get that on both platforms.
Yeah.
I haven't worked with Ableton a lot, but from a UI standpoint, it's really nice.
Yeah, I hear things about Ableton. I hear things about Reaper, mostly about because it being free, but...
Well, it's technically not free.
Logic is so much nicer.
Is that what you've been working on? I didn't know if you were doing that or just using GarageBand.
I started with GarageBand, but then I bought Logic.
Okay. My thing with Pro Tools, I don't know. You know, it's a super powerful and it's super widely in place in people's studios, but it's also kind of at the same time, it's like, I don't know if I like it.
Josh uses one called Muckabuck.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It's like freeware.
Oh,
you
okay.
Found you're the DAW that you use. It's called Muckabuck. It was created by Sandinista Rebels. Are there still Sandinistas?
Is there a DAW called Muckabuck?
No, I just made that. I made up all of that.
You're talking about Bitwig.
Oh. Is that really what it's called? Oh.
Yeah, Bitwig Studio. I've heard of that. Is that... Is Bitwig free?
Is Bitwig free?
You just said
Bitwig
it was
free.
No. But it does run on, like, everything. So it runs on Linux. It has fantastic...
Are you leaving? What time is it? Oh, it's 3.
Me,
I'm getting out of here. This sucks. He loves you.
Good talking to you.
He's going to go play with Bitwig and Fiverr and the rest of the rabbits.
I've heard of Bitwig. I've never tried it. I see here that What?
The cheap-ass basement dwellers like you that use Audacity.
Audacity.
Didn't you use Audacity?
I've never used Audacity. I tried Audacity in the 90s, I think.
I thought that's what you used.
No.
What was the one that you used to use?
I still use Vegas, like an old version of Vegas.
Vegas.
Which turned into a video editing program, but it still had a pretty extensive DAW capability, so I just kept using it because it was what I knew how to use, you know?
Mm.
And for my style of recording, I tend to record like I treat the computer like it's just a big tape machine.
Mm.
So I tend not to, you know, for that purpose, recording long tracks and mixing multiples of these long tracks and stuff that are continuous, it works for what I need it to do, you know.
Mm.
Which, I mean, there's other stuff I could be using. I could have switched to Reaper a while ago or whatever, you know, but it, Vegas still works, so I've just been using that. Because I've been using Vegas since they were Sonic Foundry, I think, originally.
I remember Sonic Foundry.
It was before Sony bought them. I think that was Sonic Foundry, yeah. So, I've been using Sonic Foundry stuff, and then I used it through the Sony era. That's when Tabor worked for them for a while. Remember? Yeah.
Yep, I do remember that. Then wasn't there some shady shit going on there?
I seem to remember something weird that he didn't like.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But then a company called...
That's funny. We had a question about Tabor in our mail.
Oh, really? A company called Magix, which has a whole bunch of different kinds of media programs. A few years ago, they bought it. So it's gone through.
Someday I'll play music.
I haven't been very music active.
I've been practicing a lot lately.
Have you?
Yes, and I feel like I've learned so much and still cannot play very good.
I guess it's all, you know, relative to your perception of yourself.
There is an objective way to look at it as well.
Okay,
and I'm not good.
So Bitwig Studio is macOS, Windows, and Linux, and it's relatively, even if you buy the high-end part of one of them, or the high-end version of it, it's still relatively affordable when it comes to dolls. It's only $2.99 for a, looks like a permanent license. You're not like, because like Pro Tools moved to a subscription.
Yeah, I saw that, like $99 a month.
That's their cheapy, yeah, I think. Well, that's
crazy!
They have a free one, but it limits you to like 8 tracks and like maybe 5 tracks of MIDI or something like that. Like,
that's some bullshit.
And so, like, if you want to try out Pro Tools, that's a good option. Like the free bass one, like free bass, free bird. But I guess it looks like Bitwig has a trial too, so you can do that. But there's so many more dolls than there used to be too. Like, that was another reason why I used Vegas, because when I started using Vegas, which was late 90s, 97, 98,
mm-hmm.
something like that. There weren't that many. There was Cubase. I think Cakewalk was around then. And there was, of course, Pro Tools, but Pro Tools wasn't even owned by Avid back then. I can't remember who owned them. But they were, I think back then you couldn't even get it. You had to buy hardware specific to Pro Tools back then. And Logic was around. Actually, Logic used to be a cross-platform program a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, there's only a handful. There's all kinds of dolls out there now, you know? And that's cool, because, you know, you got options, I guess. But interoperability, I was getting back to why... the music thing. Oh, yeah, I mean, like, it's not impossible to work with different programs with different people, but it means that you have to, like, solo out and output individual tracks for each track to transfer to other people so that they can drop that into their thing. There is a format called, like, OW something, I think, where if you output it like this, it'll also include some information about, how the tracks are placed in the timeline and stuff like that. Obviously, if you're using plugins and things like that, they won't transfer because that, you know, every doll is different with what it includes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that basic thing like would give you at least like you could open up this file and it would place all the tracks for you. And I think like basic stuff like levels and panning and stuff like that.
Panning!
Which you used to be able to do that with an XML file too. You might still be able to. But, anyway, so you can work with the people that have different software than you. It's just more convenient, I guess, to have a foot in with what the people you're working with so that you can just directly transfer projects. But, you know, a lot of people, because I've been looking this up, a lot of people like output, they'll work in Logic, you know, from their home or whatever, but when they go to take it to get it mixed in the studio, they'll output something that'll work with Pro Tools because most of the studios are using Pro Tools. So...
You don't know.
I surprisingly I know a lot, and I don't know why. It's just because I read, but
okay, all right, stop bragging.
I don't brag, I won't have anything to talk about.
That's true.
I mean, everything I say,
how you doing?
You can interpret as a brag. You specifically.
I'm very angry with FedEx right now.
They suck.
They do suck.
FedEx, for the past couple of years now, because FedEx used to be the delivery service I would prefer if given a choice from whoever I was buying.
I think everybody would have said that. Yeah.
The past
they've
couple
gone
of years,
downhill.
They consistently miss their delivery dates and then say, oops, sorry, we're going to deliver this tomorrow or something. You know?
That's exactly what my problem is. And not only that is that they lie to you and say that, yes, we attempted delivery. And I'm like, nope, been sitting here by the door all day, you lying motherfucker.
Yeah. I've had that happen. I've had them be, they'll do other things too, where they'll tell you they're going to deliver it earlier than you expected and then go, oh no, we're not. And then,
yeah. Yeah. It says like today during so-and-so hours, you wait, that never comes. And then you get a thing that says, oh, we're going to attempt tomorrow. Doesn't say that they did today.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, something happened. They just didn't feel like coming out.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you guys, you lying sons of bitches. Give me some money.
Yeah, I don't know what. I don't know if somebody like got into position like in the top of the company and just started randomly making changes, like what's his name did to the Postal Service when Trump put him in.
But, yeah. He's still in charge, you know.
Yes. They never managed to oust him.
No? Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere else now.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, be prepared for the Postal Service to get wrecked. Because they want the Postal Service gone. They want to privatize it.
They want everything gone.
Yeah. I mean, any public service that was actually useful, they want to turn into a private business.
Yeah.
So that somebody can actually make money on it instead of it just being useful to the people. Because, you know, why not, right? Anyway, but that's not the point. FedEx sucks, is what we're saying.
FedEx does suck.
They used to be so much more reliable than UPS, too.
Mm-hmm.
UPS is not any more reliable than they used to be, but they're more reliable than FedEx now. So it's like, that's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
And then, I'll tell you what, man, when you buy stuff off of, like, I just bought some books off of a seller on eBay that I bought from before. But they use this service called OWS Worldwide,
mm-hmm.
which is like a middleman shipper. And so the seller sends stuff to this OWS, and then the OWS eventually gets it to the USPS for the last leg or whatever, you know. But the problem is this OWS company sucks, because mm-hmm. for them to make money, they've got to let stuff pile up until it's reasonable, like, you know, for them to ship this pile of junk instead of just moving your thing along, you know.
You have to know what I feel about fucking middlemen. I think they're the scum of the fucking earth.
So, and I get why the seller, it's an attractive deal for the seller because they're paying less than if they just dumped it on USPS directly somehow. But still, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to order from this bookseller anymore because they use this OWS company and it held up a thing I was supposed to get last week until now.
Yeah.
I think it's coming to today. I'm not sure. You know? USPS says they've got it, so, you know. But it sat in Indiana for 5 days. Like, I could have driven there and back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I've had similar situations where I just look at the track your shipment, and it's just, it hasn't moved in 3 days.
Right.
What's happening?
It's this middleman system, somehow.
Yeah.
And the only thing you or I could do about it is to, you know, write a letter to the seller or whatever and say, why are you using this? I'm not going to buy from you anymore as long as you are. You know?
Yeah.
And that's all we can do about it, really.
Like, fucking hate middlemen. It's just, I don't like the idea, and it's even more these days because people don't actually learn skills anymore. People look to being middlemen as like their job. You know, that's what people aspire to do. It's like, you're not filling a void that needs to be filled. You're just trying to, I guess, get in where you fit in.
Mm-hmm. Make a buck.
Make a buck without having to actually do anything. In fact, you're doing a job that doesn't need to be done.
Yeah. And I don't know.
You're the opposite of what do they call it? What do they call it when you're a necessary worker? You're indispensable, I guess. Yeah, you're the opposite of that.
You're more than just the opposite of being indispensable. You're an active menace. I mean,
yeah, you're making things worse.
At least for the end consumer, like they're an active menace. Like,
yeah,
I don't. I mean, that's it. All falls in line with things like, you know, how supply chains are now, where stores don't keep stock; they're all on demand, like grocery stores and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and that's why, like, you know, during the pandemic, that's when the supply chain got fucked up. That's why we had shortages and things, because stores all switched to this on demandy kind of thing, and it's just, you know, it's so that they can maximize their profits, but in the end, it fucks us. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, and there's things I don't understand even why they work the way they do, obviously. But it's what's the joke that's been running for years now? The late stage capitalism,
yeah. Yeah,
and
also
Cory Doctorow's term and shitification, you know.
Shitification, yeah. And I haven't heard Cory Doctorow's name in a while.
He's pulled out of, like, he doesn't post on Boing Boing anymore. He still has an online presence, like a website. I follow it in my news feed, my news reader. But he said recently that, like, he was talking about Blue Sky, and he's like, I'm not going to commit myself to anything that can just cancel me or pull my account for whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They've got to guarantee that I'm going to be able to, like, move from one thing to another instead. But, and I don't know, maybe he's on Blue Sky now, but, yeah. He's still an interesting read, like, just his way of looking at things and his opinions and stuff.
Does Leo Laporte still do stuff?
I don't know. Wasn't that the guitar player from,
No. He was the tech journalist guy. Well, I guess journalist is...
Primus. That's what I'm thinking of.
Primus?
Wasn't he the guitar player from... Oh, that's Larry Lalonde. That's right. Sorry. Never mind.
Did you see how the Primus drummer just decided to quit?
No.
Just left?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. They're like, we don't know why. He just decided to quit.
Huh. Maybe he just, I mean, you know, they've been a band for a long time.
Yeah, I know, but it's weird when they just like, oh, he was going to be here today and just decided not to.
You know what? I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. One last mission.
Nah. One last mission. Fuck this. That Les guy is fucking weird.
I've put up with him for 30-something years now.
I've put up with all his too long. It's too much of that. Too much.
Just once. Can't we play a little, I don't know, rock and roll?
Yeah. I'm tired of dum-da-dum-dum-dum-da-dum-dum-da-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
I'm not even really sure. Genre-wise, they were always a band that I could not really peg into a thing. Because they weren't really metal, they weren't really rock. They weren't alternative at the time. I mean, they were alternative, but everything
was alternative is what fits them best.
But that's such a broad cloth, you know?
Yeah, it's just
they're... I mean,
don't know.
Because they're sort of post-punk.
I guess.
But they're like... Yeah, they were just weird.
Just a guy dicking around on a bass.
It's like, what do you call, what was that group? It was two guys that push a little daisies and make them come up, guys.
Ween?
Like, what do you call Ween?
I mean, they have, like, actual musical songs.
Sure. Like, Voodoo Lady. Shaking that stick and driving me crazy.
Well, other stuff, too.
But, like, they weren't really rock. I mean, alternative. No. Again, they were alternative, but...
Alternative.
But alternative has subgenres, you know, I mean, it's
rock adjacent.
There's like alt rock, alt pop, alt country, alt, you know, alt right.
Whoa.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, there's just certain bands that you're like, I don't really know what they were. Because, I mean, Beck turned into just, he's pop.
What are you?
Which is fine. He's good pop. And he's still weird pop. But
bad pop.
But I feel safe calling Beck pop. You know?
You're a pop.
But
I'll pop you.
I don't know, man. I don't know. There was a song that popped into my head the other day. I had to go look it up because I couldn't remember the name of the band. But that Scooby Snacks song from the 90s.
Scooby Snacks.
And they're running around, robbing banks, all whacked out on Scooby Snacks.
What? Don't remember.
Fun Loving Criminals. That was the name of the band.
Oh, okay.
They were sort of hip hop with like singing choruses.
Mm-hmm.
It's like three New York or New Jersey dudes or something like that. I don't know what they were exactly. They might have been LA. No, I think they were East Coast. But anyway. They seemed very New York. But yeah, I looked that up because I hadn't thought about that song in ages, and the chorus popped into my head. 90s were, you know, interesting decade for music.
I didn't enjoy them. I'm going to go out on record saying I didn't enjoy the 90s.
I don't know, man. I was messed up for a lot of 90s. So, you know. I graduated high school in the early 90s. So the 90s were like my 20s. My late teens and 20s.
Right.
So much like most people in their late teens and 20s, I had a lot of like growing up to do, you know. And I did a lot of stupid stuff. There were good times. I mean, but you know, I lost my grandma and my grandpa in the 90s, and that sucked.
Did you find them?
Yeah, eventually I found their tombstones.
Oh Lord, Jesus. No. Nobody told you?
No.
Damn, yeah, mom and dad, fuck.
Of course they told me, you know. But, you know, that was rough. I mean, not so much my grandpa. I didn't like him very much. But I was more mad at him, I think. But, yeah.
Fuck that guy.
It was my grandma sucked. And then, like, just, you know, 90s, man. 20s. It's a weird time. Because you're supposed to be an adult, and you're not quite an adult yet. Like, not in your head.
I'm not an adult now.
I get that. I mean, there's that thing. I said this when I bought this house, and I said it because my birthday was last month. When I turned 50, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel, but I don't really feel anything different. Like,
dude, I think... So, whenever Sean or Josh talk about what they're doing on the weekend, and I'm like, man, I'm waiting for when their kids are like teenagers, and I'm just like, they're like doing like family things, and I'm just like, well, what am I gonna do today?
Right. That's true. I mean, when you get married and have kids, and it becomes more of a family thing, that's where your focus has to go.
Yep. But you know what? They're going to have somebody to take care of them when they're old, and I'm just going to fall asleep in a gutter somewhere.
Well, and if you still have cats, they'll probably eat you.
Yeah, Floyd definitely will. I don't know about Cooper, man.
Is he a vegetarian?
No, but he's kind of too sweet and too dumb.
Yeah, but if there ain't nobody there to give him food and you're just sitting there dead, you know.
That's true.
He'll eat.
That's true.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I keep thinking about, this is one of those things, again, that you don't, at least I didn't start thinking about until I got a little bit older, but I keep thinking about making a will, because I don't have one.
You should, because nobody's going to believe it when I come to take all your stuff after you die. And I'm going to have to explain to them that that's what you would have wanted, and nobody will believe me, so I would prefer you put it in writing.
I'm thinking about donating my body to one of those like medical cadaver places.
Don't do that. You know what? I went to Body Worlds, and it really upset me.
Oh, that thing with the people that have been impregnated with the plasticizing stuff? And the musculature and all that? Yeah. I went to that once, and it creeped me out.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't think it would bother me. That's why it was that's what kind of made it even more upsetting is that I went in there going, "Oh, this isn't going to be nothing." And then I came out of there like, "Oh, I feel terrible."
Yeah, I think it wasn't so much the seeing the insides of people thing, it was the grotesquery of it, cuz they had them doing activities.
Yeah, that was part of it, and just, yeah, it's like these were people at one point.
Yeah, and now they're just in these silly positions and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, some of them were like playing baseball and shit. I mean, it wasn't all just goofy, but there were a couple of ones, and I'm like, that's just kind of...
Would you want to be eternally playing baseball for the rest?
I don't want to play baseball now. I would not want to do
it
forever. Yeah,
I know, but what a weird thing. It's like, that's how you... spend the rest.
Yeah. Didn't they even have, like, people on skinned horses and stuff, too?
Yeah, it wasn't just people.
Yeah. Like, it was the grotesque part of it that got to me, I think. Like, because, yeah. So, I don't know, but, yeah, and stuff like, you know, I asked my friend Brian, like, I was like, if I die before my parents do, can you help them sell the music stuff because you know what it would be worth? You know, stuff like that. To try, like, liquidate my music stuff, you know? But it's stuff I didn't think anything of at all in my 20s, obviously. I thought I was going to be dead at 27. Why would I think about a will? You know, I didn't have anything. Like, you know. Oh, man. It's just weird. So, what you been working on comics-wise?
Well, I'm waiting on a script for The Last Borderlands and another...
Video game thing?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And a script for another thing, and I've just been working on this Battle Pug thing, you know?
Right on.
I did a lot of stuff for... Joel is doing some... variety show thing up in Madison in January.
Yeah.
And it's going to be him and Dana Gould and the guy that did all of the design work for Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like, he made all that furniture and weird stuff, you know?
Oh, wow. And like Jambi's house and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. So... they're doing like a little show and they had me do a bunch of artwork for it. And now they said that I have to come for the big end of show number. And I'm like, I don't want to be on stage. I don't know what you need me there for.
What's the end of show number? Like a singing?
I don't
singing
no, I have no idea, like, what it is, but that's the thing with Joel. He never tells me anything. Like, half the time that I'm doing, working on stuff, I don't know what it's for.
Right.
And that's kind of what this is. It's just, I've been drawing a lot of pictures of him and this other guy. And I guess they're using it in the show.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I'm guessing projecting it or something, because...
I don't know.
Why would I mean...
But, so... I've been doing that, and I just finished Marty's album cover.
That's cool. How'd that turn out?
I don't know anymore.
I'm guessing if it's being called done, then he's at least satisfied with it.
Yeah, it seems like.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I can understand from your position where, especially if you've had to go back and revise things on it, at a certain point you just don't even have any perspective on it anymore.
Yeah, like, it's that, care. And it's like, this isn't what I
started out
with, so I don't know if I care for it anymore, but that's not the point. It's like,
right.
I'm not the client, so.
Yeah, I get you, man. Even when I'm working on my own stuff, if I spend too much time on it, by the time I'm done with it, I'm just like, I don't care anymore. You know, like...
I think that's a journeyman thing. I think that's just what people that get up and do the work, they don't want to spend a lot of time perfecting, you know.
I've generally been one of those people who I'd rather have it good enough and done than perfect and never finished.
Well, that was the thing with me, you know, me and Tim were really in step on that. We often said, you know, if we were given a deadline of however long we wanted, we'd still spend the same amount of time as if we had a deadline.
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of what the psychology is behind that. I've never been searching for the one perfect thing.
Yeah.
I like getting a thing done good enough and then moving on to something new, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I remember there was an artist we were publishing him through Devil's Due, and he kept blowing his deadlines because he wanted it. I think he even said it. He's like, I'm just trying to make it, you know, perfect.
That sounds like Pablo Raimondi.
And I just remember like talking to him at a convention and him saying, and I'm like, dude, you're never going to get this book done at that rate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're already blowing your deadlines on the first two issues we published or whatever. And then I don't think the series ever did get published all the way through us.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I can't remember the artist's name. I'm trying to remember the project. But I looked it up not that long ago because it popped into my head. And it turned out he made a cartoon of it eventually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how far the printed version ever got. But I did see that there was a cartoon of it. That's why it popped into my head. The cartoon, I was looking for something else, and the cartoon popped up, and I recognized the name. That's what it was.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, well, good for him. You know?
Was it Oxido?
No, that was Larry Hama.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Oh, Pablo? Okay. Yeah, he was the artist on that one. It was, I can't remember the artist's name. I think the book was called Battle Chasers?
Battle Chasers?
No, not Battle Chasers. Cannon Busters?
Yes, that was a cartoon. You're right.
Cannon Busters. Yep. And we published like maybe two issues through Devil's Due.
We did publish two issues of Cannon. That is right. I forgot about Cannon Busters.
And I think somebody.
Yeah,
else...
he was kind of a perfectionist.
And, you know, fine. It's your project, right? You know, if that's what makes you happy, then do that. But yeah. I've always been more of a production-oriented person.
Yeah, I guess. Same here.
The deadline is the deadline. I mean, you get it done and then move on to the next thing. Like.
Also, I've noticed this year especially that I've become kind of dependent on having a project manager part of the equation. You know, this whole Kickstarter thing is making me break out in hives. I've never been in charge.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've told the story before. When they made me a manager at the record store, I quit because I was like, I don't like being in charge.
I had a similar experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't, yeah. It's not fun.
When I first started freelancing myself, I ran into that problem a lot of people do where I overbooked and didn't schedule myself right and I blew some deadlines. And that like kind of shocked me into a thing where I started getting better organized. And then the deadline became the thing that I'm like, give me a deadline and stick to it. And then that did me pretty good for a long time, but this year has been rough, man. Like everybody upstream of me is blowing their deadlines, and that messes mine up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I've got stuff scheduled for here, and then I don't get the stuff I need to do that until the week after my deadline. But by that point, it's already into where I've got other stuff booked, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that happens, and it's any project with multiple people, it's going to happen sooner or later. But it's been happening a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just messes up other stuff I'm working on, especially if I've got stuff that doesn't have hard deadlines. Or real nearby deadlines. Because I keep bumping that stuff when I finally get the other stuff in that I'm looking for, you know? And it's just, wow. I don't know what happened this year. My devotion to the deadline's been shook.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do me any good to make a schedule if nobody else is going to follow it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think there's just a general attitude of things don't matter anymore, just across the board with everybody.
It's something's in the air. I don't know. It's
yeah, it does feel like that.
Things have gotten weird. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not even tapped into like the community at large anymore, like where I used to at least participate like in Twitter and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is just what I'm getting from my own work. I'm like, I imagine what I could see if I was actually talking to people. Like,
yeah.
I've got to do a Zoom thing next week for a new project, and I'm like, really? Why? Why do you need to see me? You know?
Hold on a second.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm back.
Okay.
I had to let in my friend Phineas.
Ah.
Oh, what's this? Phineas gave me a Christmas card. Oh, it's Santa Claus. Funny.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus Kinski.
Ah. Very good.
I like the stringy hair. That's cool. Anyway.
Santa Claus.
What else were we talking about?
Oh, just griping about stuff. At least I
guess. So, what else? What else is new? What else do we? What? How long have we been recording? Look at the time here. 48 minutes. We got like what? 10 more minutes.
I mean, we can stop as soon as we want. I don't, you know.
Stop whenever I tell you to.
I mean, you know. I got another one of those explodey blotches in my eyeball again.
What?
And this time I figured out what caused it. Yeah, you know, like when blood vessels burst in your eyes and it makes like a big red blotch outside of your...
I mean, if there's an accident, yeah. That doesn't usually just happen to me.
The past few years I've had them happen off and on, but I never
really... That doesn't seem normal.
I never really understood, or I didn't know why they were happening, because I'd wake up with them. And I thought maybe I just hit myself in the eye or something when I was sleeping. But this time I actually knew what caused it. I was blowing my nose, and I guess I was doing it too hard. Because I blew my
nose. You blew your nose and got a blood vessel burst in your eye?
Yeah, and I looked it up, and those things, they're not uncommon, and they're not, like, dangerous or anything. But, yeah, one of the things that can happen is if you're, like, coughing too hard or blowing your nose too hard or whatever, you can break blood vessels, or if you're straining, like if you're lifting stuff, you know, and you're, or I guess if you're straining on the toilet too, well, that probably works, but like anytime you're putting pressure, I guess, on that area, like by clenching and, you know, like when you're straining, you know.
Jesus.
But yeah, so it,
how hard are you sneezing?
I was just blowing my nose and I thought I was doing it in a normal way, but I didn't have
it. I don't think you were.
I didn't have it before I blew my nose, and I looked at myself in the mirror after I blew my nose, because, you know, it's where I keep the tissues. And, yeah, then it was there, and I was like, oh, shit, now I know why. So I'm betting when I've had that happen before in my sleep, I was probably coughing. It was times when I was coughing, I'm betting. But, yeah, so that was one of the ridiculous things that's happened to me in the past couple of weeks. This just happened this week, but... Sometimes ridiculous things happen, man. You don't know why. You really don't have control over it. It wasn't planned or anything. It was just really big.
Frank's words of wisdom.
Really big and dumb, essentially.
That's what they called me in high school.
Was that what was in your yearbook?
Yeah.
Most likely to be really...
What's up, big and dumb? See you next year.
Most likely
stay
to be,
cool.
Most likely to be really big and dumb.
Most likely, most definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. So, what's been happening to you?
My eyes are okay.
Well, that's good. That's good. I think I need eyeglasses too. But I've said
I went to jury duty.
Oh, did you? How was that?
I got picked to be on a trial.
Did it? How long did that take?
About a week, and then it got a mistrial.
Oh, wow. What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. Why do you just assume it was me?
Oh, well, you know. Cause?
I did not enjoy the experience, and I will never do it again. I'll move to Panama before it happens. You can come get me. I'll pay the fee. Wait a minute. It says that you could face a fine, but it doesn't say anything about going to jail. And that's the part I'm worried about. Do you think they put me in jail?
It would be up to the judge, I suppose. Because aren't you, if you fail on your jury duty thing or ignore that, they put you in contempt of court, right?
Yeah, but it also said fine, and I'm like, I'll pay a fine. Because
gets me out.
Because that would be worth it. That shit was excruciating.
How long did you have to spend there each day?
8 hours a day. You were there from 9 till 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it was annoying. And they take a sidebar every 5 minutes like it's a college football game or something.
What kind of... You don't have to go into details or anything, but what kind of a case was it?
It was a civil suit.
Oh.
Against the police.
Really? Chicago PD?
No, Wichita. Where do you think I live?
I don't know, man. I could have taken you out of county or something. I don't know, man.
No, it was, Chicago.
So, it'd probably be easier to say what didn't the police do wrong. But...
Well, that's the thing, right? I was going in there with like, oh, okay. Well, let's see if I'm about to mete out some justice.
Go ahead.
It was not what I thought it was going to be.
How do they find an unbiased jury for a case involving the police?
It's difficult.
I mean, I couldn't be unbiased about the police. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And, there are a lot of people during the selection process who were like, they knew that too. And it was a lot of like, all kinds of bullshit excuses.
Yeah, I mean, straight up, if I'm going into be a jury member of a case involving somebody against the police, I'm going in there going, it's a police fault.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no doubt in my mind. It's the fault of the police. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not that I hate police or anything, but they are quite often, in the wrong.
You can say if you hate police.
Well, I don't. I mean, I've had police save my ass, from stuff, but... I think collectively, I'm not happy with police. Individually, I take them on a case-by-case basis. Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes sense. But, well, I'm sorry to hear... Well, I'm not sorry. It's your civic duty, man.
Shut up! You ain't the mayor.
No, but, I mean, that's... if you expect a jury trial, you have to participate in the system,
I do what I want.
Now, having said that, I've gotten out of jury duty twice.
How?
Because of the nature of my work, I explained to them that if I can't work for a week, which I wouldn't be able to work for a week, that I would lose jobs.
Well, motherfucker, I didn't know I could do that.
Well, in my case, I said I would lose jobs that I would then not be able to get back.
So you were... Okay.
Which is true. I mean, if I get bumped from a book, they're not going to just come back to me.
It's okay. So it just comes down to who's brave enough to do the lying.
It wasn't lying.
It wasn't necessarily the whole truth either.
I mean, I might have dramatized it a bit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But it is true. If I get bumped,
I'm not good at doing that. I have to be honest.
If I get
I'm not a liar like you.
I didn't lie. If I get bumped from a book, I'm not going to get that work back, man. I mean, and that's the truth.
Mm.
So I explained that I couldn't spend 8 hours a day not being able to work.
Mm.
And they said, okay, you're clear.
Well, I should have done that.
I guess.
But I thought that they would go, that's not true. And I'd be like, oh, okay, you got me.
I mean, if they would have wrote back and said, well, request denied, I would have gone down and done it. But, And I would have just had to figure out how to make it work.
Make it work.
But, yeah. I mean, there are legitimate reasons that get you out of jury duty. Like, health problems are one of them. Like, my dad wouldn't be able to serve jury duty because of his health. Neither would my mom, probably, at this point. But,
Well, next time I'm just going to say I don't want to and see if that works.
Can I just pay the fine?
I will! If I can... Well, goddamn. If I can just pay the fine, I'll do it. Well, it depends. If it's like a $1,000 fine, but it can't be like that much.
It might be, man.
No.
Jury duty is a serious business. Again, it's a civic duty. It's not like a thing that you're supposed to be able to easily get out of.
Then why is it so easy to get out of?
It's not. You have to prove or provide information that indicates that it would somehow harm you to serve jury duty.
I didn't see these people providing proof.
Or, you know, if you can't be unbiased in the case, but that's a matter of, you know, that you can't have an unbiased jury if you got biased people on the jury, obviously, you know.
I'm going to bias you.
I mean, you probably could have gotten out of it by saying, you know, look, I'm going in there and I think the police are at fault. And they would have said, oh, okay, you're not able to give an unbiased opinion, and they would have booted you off the jury. Or they might have booted you over to another case.
I don't want to be booted by anybody. Don't boot me. I do the booting.
Oh, boy.
I'm the one that boots.
You're the booty?
I'm the booty.
You're the booter. Sorry, you're the booter.
Yes, I'm the booter, not the booty. You're the booty.
Booty. Booty, booty, booty.
Booty, 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 booty. You know what? I did that the other day at home, and Julie's like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And I was like, that's from Buck Rogers. And she's like, what is that?
You know, Gilder.
And then I showed it. Then I showed her the clip, and she thought I made that. She thought I was doing it as a joke. I was like, what the fuck did you think I made a TV show from the 80s?
It was Tweaky's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, it's Tweaky. Tweaky, not Tweaky.
Tweaky.
It's Tweaky.
Tweaky.
It's not Tweaky.
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 Twiggy?
Tweaky. And he used to carry Dr. Theopolis around his neck.
Yep. Yep.
Dr. Theopolis was a robot.
And he was voiced by Mel Blanc, I think.
Really?
I think.
No, I think Tweaky was voiced by Mel Blanc.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Dr. Theopolis was.
Oh, no, I don't know who Theopolis was voiced by.
Dr. Theopolis sounded like... He sounded like the Moonanites.
He was very ASMR.
Dr. Theopolis sounded like a Moonanite. I don't care what you think. I will do as I please.
Oh, and I think Tweaky was played by... Felix Silla. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, because I've seen him at conventions. I saw him at conventions. He's dead now, but...
And, Mel Blanc was the voice of... Well, for the first season. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because he sounded like Tasmanian Devil.
Sure thing,
when he
Buck.
Talked. Sure thing, Buck.
Somebody named Eric Server was the voice of Dr. Theopolis.
Mm.
And I don't know. I'm trying to see what else he did. Oh, apparently he was in 17 episodes of BJ and the Bear.
Oh, Lord. He was the bear?
I think he was the truck.
Oh, okay. He was the truck.
Yeah.
Wow. He's very, very, what do you call it?
Where do you think they got
wide
Optimus?
Range.
Where do you think they got Optimus Prime from? I mean, you know.
Okay, I gotta go.
All right.
It's Phineas's birthday.
Happy birthday, Phineas.
He doesn't care about you or your family.
That's fine. All right. So we'll save email for next time.
Yeah.
And all right then. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. We mentioned Battle Pug earlier. You can go read the original Battle Pug at battlepug.com.
Yours.
And whatever, you know. Write us if you want to. I don't know. 20 years. Woo!
Long time.
Goodbye.
Bye.